have a subject I'd like to share with you that the Lord's been talking to me about. If I could put a title to this, it would be casual. And the definition that I saw, made or done without much thought, done without sufficient care or thoughtfulness, relaxed or unconcerned. What I'm really interested in is the spiritual part of it. But I'd like for us for a little bit to look at society in general in my lifetime, in Brother Lauren and Sister Maxine's lifetime. You know, in our workplace, I've worked at this place for 30 years. And the managers that were there years ago, they wore a business suit to work every day, dressed up every day. Now they have casual Fridays. You just come in wearing blue jeans and like you're going out to ball field or something. I looked at an old magazine called Reminisce where it had old pictures from years ago. It showed people going to town. And you know what? There was a time when people went to town looking like they were going to church. They were dressed up in their best clothes. I looked at them. I thought, well, that must be Sunday. No, they were just going to town to buy something. But they would change their clothes because I'm not going to be casual about this. And I find even for myself, you know, it's easy to be casual there too. I can be working on my car and I got some dirty clothes on. I've been got them all dirty. But I only need to run to AutoZone. Nobody will hardly see me anyhow. So I got a tear in the knee of my britches, but it's just only to that. That's casual. That's maybe not so big of a thing, but you know, it can move into other areas. It can move into my work ethics. I can become so casual about work ethics. And then we start getting into places where the Bible wants to give me some instruction about it. It's more than just what the society is saying about it. I was thinking of the verse in Proverbs where it's talking about, I went by the field of the slothful. And I saw the things that through neglect they had fallen apart, and I received some instruction from it. You know, the Bible has instruction it wants to give me about being too casual about things. Even being too casual about business. There's a verse that says, don't be slothful in business. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. There's a verse that says, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Don't be casual about it. There is also a place that we have come to in society that because it changes, maybe kind of gradual, to me it seems like it's changed pretty sudden. There's a verse that talks about speaking evil of dignities. Yes. You know, there was a time when there was a great respect for who was in authority. Yes. Police, you know, when I was young, oh, just a police would bring a fear into my heart. I didn't want to do anything to make him mad. But you know, now how times have changed. There is no regard for authority. Not much regard. Casual about those that are in authority. There's a place that God wants us, his people, to be able to not be casual. To be able to show the world what it's like to not be casual. But I'd like to think about the spiritual part tonight because, you know, just like it is easy to happen over the years and society has become casual, I can become that in my spiritual walk with the Lord. I was thinking about the Laodiceans in Revelations, the 3rd chapter. He had something to say to them, and in 3 and 14, to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. This is talking about spiritual things. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, So I was looking at this. You know, these folks got casual. Were not cold. They had some experience, but they were not hot. They were not fervent in spirit. And I was looking at the Bible, throughout the Bible. How does God look at that? How does God, does he care whether I'm fervent or whether I'm not? Do I have any places in the Bible that shows me he cares about whether I'm casual about some things or not? I would like for us to take a look at some of those. I'd like to go to look at the Ten Commandments in Exodus, the 20th chapter. Exodus 20 and 8 is the one I would like to look at tonight. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And this was the kind of instructions that he gave them back then. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, thy cattle, thy stranger that is in within the gates. So he's telling them, you got 6 days to do your work. I want you on the seventh day to rest and don't have anything else working either. How much did he regard the Sabbath himself? God did. Did he allow people to be casual about what he said there? I started looking at some things. You remember when they first started out, and I believe it's in Exodus in the 16th chapter. You know, they're going to have some food, so he gave them manna to eat. And with that manna, he also gave them some instruction. He said, you take a certain part amount for each person for the day. You know, he just gave some real clear instruction for that. Well, you know, they had been... We always look ahead. I would like to have more food in my cupboard than what I'm going to eat today. I think that would be the natural tendency of people. But God told them, don't do it. You go out and you collect what you need for this day, this amount. Do not save it over for tomorrow. Should you do it, it's going to have worms in it. Some of them did save it over for tomorrow, and sure enough, it did have worms in it. God trying to teach them, here's what I want you to do. Well, then the Sabbath is coming along, the Sabbath day, and he tells them, okay, this day is going to be different. Said, you collect enough manna on the day before the Sabbath, enough for 2 days, because when you get up tomorrow morning, there will not be any manna on the Sabbath day for you to go collect. It says some of them did not believe it, and they just collected for 1 day, and they went out the next day, and sure enough, there's nothing there on that day. You know, God was just trying to teach them, I give you some instruction, and I want you to follow what I've got for you. So he gave that instruction because he wanted them to follow what he said about the Sabbath day. You know, the size of that group of people, 600,000, it's hard for me to imagine. I just think about a small little group traveling together. This group was like a city. 600,000, and that was just the men, then the women and the children. And Moses is getting instruction from God and trying to lead these people. And God is saying, for all this group right here together, I'm giving you instruction about the Sabbath day. Don't do any work on the Sabbath day. There was a place in Numbers. Because, you know, it's so easy to get casual and feel like, you know what, does this matter? Look at this thing right here. We would say today, this does not matter. But it mattered to God. In Numbers 15 and 32. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, remember God has told them, on a Sabbath day, don't do any work. While the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And they brought him, and they that found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him. You know what we would say today in our society? Big deal. What does it matter if a man picks up sticks on Saturday or Sunday in our society today? What matters is that God said, I want it done a certain way. And you know what I believe God saw also? Should he not require something and it have a penalty with it? You know what's going to happen on the next Sabbath day? There's going to be a bunch of people out picking up sticks. And then there's going to be something else that's going to happen. So back then, God would punish something so that nobody would do it again. So it says to where we would look at it in our society and say, God does not care about those kind of things. God did care. It says, the Lord said to Moses in the 35th verse, the man shall surely be put to death. That's a pretty big consequence for picking up sticks. Except what it is disobedience to God is what it is. And if it is not stopped at this place, then there will be others that will follow after it. It says, the man shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And they did that he died. You know, when we start dealing with God, casual is not good enough. My desire is to make heaven my home in the end, and he has set the bar for what it's going to take for me to be able to make it. So maybe we don't see people falling over dead today, but you know, God is still the same. We like to say that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what? If he and his Father are still the same, I like that verse because he's still able to heal me and help my problems get better. But if he's still the same, he also is like this. He wants us, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say? He still has some requirements for us. In Exodus, here's another command that he gave. Exodus 25. When I look at this one, it makes me to see how God wanted to dwell among the people. 25:8. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Well, that's a nice thought. He's desiring to be able to dwell with me, and he says, make me a place to dwell. So I can just throw it together however I want to. In one of my Bibles back a while back, I followed it out, and it was 14 pages of details. I want you to build me a place. I want to dwell with you. But I've got a requirement of how you do it. You can't be casual about it. I want this to be blue. I want this to be dyed red. I want this to be this size. I really want to dwell with you. But I've got page after page of instruction to be able to do it. You know, casual would have said, we're out of red dye. What does it matter anyway? I don't see what it'd make any difference. You know, Noah could have done the same thing. Yeah. What difference does gopher wood make anyhow in building a boat? The difference it made is that God said, here's the kind of wood I want you to use. And there's going to come a day when the boat needs to float. And you know what? If God doesn't help it float, it's not going to work. Casual would not have been a good enough for Noah. Over 100 years of building that thing, it would be so easy to cut corners, to say, you know what? God said, pitch it within and without with pitch. That was one huge boat. That would have taken a lot of sticky work to do that. But he followed it. When it all ends up, it says, and Noah did as God commanded. And the boat floated when he needed it. God tells them, build me a sanctuary. And he puts all those details in it. And that story ends with, and Moses built it according to the pattern. Moses did it exactly like he wanted. And when he did, what we all want to happen in our lives happened for them. God came down and dwelt among them. And because society is pressing us today, this is good enough. What did we say the definition was? Done without sufficient care or thoughtfulness, relaxed or unconcerned, made or done without much thought. Let's just slap it together. It ought to be good enough. But we're dealing with the God of heaven, and he put down some instructions for how he wanted things done. There's another place that I would like for us to look at that every time I read it, it brings a seriousness to me. It's in the book of Numbers. Numbers in the 4th chapter. This is, okay, they built the sanctuary for God to dwell in. But this sanctuary is portable. It's going to have to be moved. And you know, God had some directions for how they would build things that would be put in the most holy place. Well, you know what? Those things that were so sacred in the most holy place had to be packed up and moved also. In the 4th chapter, he's given them instruction how he wants them to be able to do it. In 4:4, there's a group of the Levites. Says, this shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things. Now, wouldn't that be something if you were the one that was responsible now for the most holy things? Nobody gets to take a look at it, but you're going to be the one to carry it. And it tells them, here's step by step of how I want you to do it. It tells, starting in the 5th verse, Aaron and his sons are the only one that can go in the most holy place. And it says, before you ever let this group of men come in, I want you to cover it. In fact, you find that most of those things, like the ark, had like 3 coverings over it. It was very well covered before these other men walked in to see it. And when I look at some of these verses, before they ever come in, they get it all covered up. And God says, this is how I want you to do it. And it says in the 15th verse, when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary. You know, we're talking about casual. You ever done some moving and you're in a hurry to go and you say, look, throw it in the box. We're running late. We'll sort it out when we get there. That's not how God said to do it for his. And so he's telling them, when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come and bear it. But they shall not touch any holy thing lest they die. Now that's a serious responsibility. Don't move in there and just grab up something that you shouldn't be touching because you'll fall over dead. And it goes on down in the 18th verse. Says, don't cut off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites, but thus do unto them that they may live and not die. When they approach unto the most holy things, here's what I want you to do. Aaron and his sons go in and appoint them everyone to his service and to his burden, but they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. You know, casual would not have worked there. To say, look, y'all are taking too long getting that stuff wrapped up. I'm coming on in and grab it. We got to go. God's saying, I'm going to keep this special here. Only Aaron and his sons are supposed to cover it. Why? You know, we in our time, things have become so casual about spiritual things that it's just, I don't see the difference. Anything ought to be able to go, ought to be accepted. Why was it not accepted? God had a reason for it. And so he's saying, you can help these Kohathites to live by making sure they don't step outside the bounds that I have made for them. You remember when someone stepped outside the bounds? I was looking at that, and the man had real good intentions. You remember when Eli's sons are going into battle against the Philistines. They lost the first day. children of Israel lost the battle the first day. And they say, I know what will help us to win the battle. We need to go get this ark. This right here that is not supposed to be used for anything but some special things. Let's bring the ark in the camp because that's where God dwells. You know, God told them, build me a sanctuary. I want to live there. And he was. But they came in and took that ark out and took it into battle. You remember the story? It said that the Philistines could hear the roar of the people, the children of Israel. Children of Israel had been beaten that day. But the roar that came from them, the Philistines could hear it. And they said, what is this sound that I'm hearing? They've been beaten. And someone told them, I tell you what, God has come into their camp. They have just brought the ark where God dwells into the camp. And said, you had better fight tomorrow like you never fought before. Philistines recognize what God should be able to do with his people. But you know what? When we get casual, we can no longer expect God to be doing his part. And that's what happened with them. The next day, Philistines come in and they fight as hard as they can. Not only did they whip the children of Israel, but they took the ark and carried it off with them. Now that's a prize right there. The God that was supposed to be able to take care of them didn't, and we have got the ark with us. You remember the story? They took the ark and they set it up next to their god, Dagon, in the place of worship. Now we got theirs and we got ours. We'll put them here together. And the next day, Dagon was laying down on the ground. Well, you know, anything can happen. So they stood him back up and went home again. Came back the next day and said he's not repairable anymore. His hands are broke off. His head was broke off. It's done for. And they realized, you know what? Wait, we're messing with something here. We're going to move this thing out of here. We don't want it anymore. Remember, they would move it from one city to another. And when the ark here, God's still dealing with the Philistines. Now, as it came into another city, the people in that city got sick. And they said, hey, send it on. Send it to the next one. You know, about the time it's heading to the third city said, don't you send it to me. We're seeing what's happening everywhere it goes. So you remember they made a cart and they sent it back to the children of Israel. And the children of Israel, when they saw it coming and realized what was happening, they were so happy about it. And you remember, they got the ark now. And you know what? We've never been able to see what was in the ark before. And so we set it up. And the Bible says they came by to take a look at what's in the ark. And the Bible says thousands of people died. Now, I'll try to read the commentaries on it, and they try to explain it doesn't mean that much. But you know what? When you look at it in the Bible, it says thousands of people died because they looked into the ark that they weren't supposed to look into. It brought a fear on the people. And they took that ark and they put it, I think maybe for 20 years, it stayed at maybe the house of Abinadab and stayed there until David was ready to move it to Jerusalem. You remember when he was ready to move it? They're going to take great care with moving it. So they built a new cart for it. We're going to have something special to haul this back for its permanent home. And you remember they were going along and this man had such good intentions. His name was Uzzah. And it looked like this thing is going to get dumped on the ground when it hit a pothole or whatever. And he reaches out to steady it. See, you read back here to the Kohathites. It says, you want to protect them. You want to keep them from dying. Don't let them touch these holy things. That was maybe years before. But you know, God doesn't change because I don't study his word to see if he still requires those kind of things. They had requirements of how they were to carry the ark. It was never to be carried on a cart. It was to have staves put through it. And the men of Levi, the priests, were to carry it It was on a cart. They failed to go back and check the instructions. Maybe we could say they became casual about it. The only thing I'm thinking about is I want to move it from this point to this point. I'm not thinking about what God has said, how He wants me to do it. Those are Old Testament things. But you know, I wonder, is God different today? He has mercy. Am I casual about the mercy? I was looking at a verse in Psalms. Psalms 19 and 13. Okay, and I've got the wrong verse. Where it says, keep thy servant from presumptuous sins. Where it was talking about that, when I looked at presumptuous, it said irreverent with respect to sacred things. Is it 19 and 13? Am I looking? Yeah, I'll never find it in Job. Thank you. Psalms 19 and 13. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Irreverent with respect to sacred things. So I look at for myself, what's the boundary that I use for my life? Do I have a boundary that says, you know what, I have a fear of being caught. It would be humiliating to be caught doing this, so I don't do it. You know what I need to have is, Ecclesiastes 12 tells me, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, because this is the whole duty of man. Don't want to be casual about this. I'm dealing with God. Joseph. He's not around any family anymore. May never see them again. But you know what? He would not allow himself to be casual in his living. He would not allow that to be what governed how he lived. My dad will never see me again, so I live the way I want to live. When he was tempted with Potiphar's wife, what was his answer? How shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God? To keep from being casual, I need to realize I'm all the time dealing with God. You may not see. You may not even be able to, you won't be able to know what thoughts are running through my mind. But I need to be able to realize, you know what, I'm dealing with God all the time. I don't want to be casual about it. Aaron's sons. You know, I was reading about them. God gave some real clear instruction about how He wanted sacrifices to be made. In Leviticus, Leviticus 10 and 1. So in the ninth chapter, God had given instruction for Aaron of how he was to get the fire that he used for the sacrifices. And while he was doing that, while he was in there, his sons are also there. And it says in the 10th chapter, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, we're talking about casual tonight. What difference does it make? Fire is fire. They took either of them his censer, and they put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and they offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. They didn't go about getting their fire the way He had told them to get it. It says, there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. They died while their dad is there offering sacrifices also. and sees them fall over dead. Yes. Now, you know how you'd feel if your child died, there's nothing else matters in this world. But you know what was told to him? He said, you keep right on. Aaron, don't you stop right now or you're going to die also. Don't you weep for this. Don't you stop anything. You know, that seems kind of strong. Except that, look at this in the sixth verse. Here's where Moses said unto Aaron and to Eleazar and unto his Ithamar and his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. And they did according to the word of Moses. You know, look at this. Casual was not acceptable with God. He required obedience. I was looking in the commentary. It said the very fire, which if properly applied would have sanctified and consumed the gift, it became now the very instrument of their destruction. It said, how true is the saying, the Lord is a consuming fire. Has he changed today? I was thinking of another area that is called casual. Jesus was talking to his disciples, said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. You know, hypocrisy is casual. It is when I become so, my thought is more important to me, what you think about me, than what God thinks about me. Ananias and Sapphira were casual. Yes. How could they not realize God sees everything I'm doing? When I made the sale of the property, you know, that was a long time ago, but it would be so valuable for all of us tonight to go from here every day of our life, realizing, you know what, God is watching every detail. We shouldn't have to do that with fear. We need to be glad that he's there with us all the time. But Ananias and Sapphira, somehow they came to a point when they saw everybody else selling everything. Their desire was to look as good as everybody else did. You remember Peter when he talked to him? He said, while it was yours, you could have done whatever you wanted to with it. There would have been nothing wrong with them coming to him and say, you know what, I sold it for $10,000. I'd like to give $5,000. That's all. He said it was yours. You could have done what you wanted to with it. But instead, if they would have said that, they would have not looked as good as the other folks that had sold everything and gave everything. How was it that Ananias and Sapphira, as they're walking to the chapel, we're in agreement here. Make sure we're not going to be there together for a while. So remember, this is our number. This is what we sold it for. If we're not there together when they ask, let's both remember our number. Don't get the number mixed up. You know, the same God that dealt so serious talking to the Kohathites, be real careful how you deal with holy things, is dealing with us the same way. With Ananias and Sapphira, they did not realize, you know what, I've got a clock that's ticking down. As he got closer, Ananias got closer, there was a time when he had 5 minutes left to his life, depending on how casual he was willing to be. It's clicking down. He can instantly reverse it. He could have repented in his heart. Lord, I don't know what I was thinking. I know you know everything. I am so sorry. But instead, he carried it on through. And Peter told him, you didn't lie to me. You lied to the Holy Ghost. And he fell over dead. Boy, that's a big price to pay. Come on, I was going to give half of it to you. Casual. Go out and bury him, and somehow the news did not get to the wife. and she comes in a few hours later, and her clock is ticking. It's one decision away from changing the clock. She's got 5 minutes left. Here comes the question. Did you sell this for so much? You know, all she had to do was immediately, she didn't even know her husband had died and was buried. She could have at any time, if she were not casual, she could have said, I am sorry. We had made this agreement and I should not have done it. But instead she said, yay, we sold it for so much. And her clock hit zero. Both of them gone out into eternity because they were too casual about spiritual things. We live in a different time today. We don't see many people fall over dead for being casual about spiritual things. You know, there was something happened when Ananias and Sapphira fell over dead. It was what God intended to happen. It said great fear came on all the church and said no man durst join himself with them. Not play in church anymore. I don't want to join this thing and play. We're living in a different time today. We're living in a time of mercy to where I can continue on being casual about spiritual things. But I have to face the Lord sometime. And to me, what I see from this for myself, I find, you know what, there's areas that possibly I am too casual. There's a verse that says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Yes. That's what we're doing tonight. We're meeting together.
Yes.
You know, I can become casual about this. Mm-hmm. I'm here. I made it. I made a decision not to do anything else but be here tonight.
Yes.
You know, I can be too casual about this. Just because I made it is enough. But you know, I've been thinking this week for myself. You know, when we come into this place, we're meeting with the great God of heaven. How casual would I be if I stood before him? You know, we see a place in Revelations 20 that says, I'm going to stand before that great white throne. You know, I won't be casual then. I don't want to be casual now. What I want to do is, I want to go past the place of, I've made my decision. Okay, I'll be here Sunday. I'll be here Wednesday night. But Lord, I want to give you my all. When I do come, Lord, help me not be casual about it. Help me to not spend my time thinking about the things I'm going to need to do tomorrow. But I was here, and I felt like that was good enough. We're living in a day of mercy. And I think what the Lord wants to do with me, maybe with all of us, is say, you know, there's some areas that because there's a verse that says familiarity breeds contempt. Because I have it so common, it's a common thing to come to meeting. In fact, I'll go to Monarch and I'll go there for 30 services. You know what? Every one of those services are an opportunity for me to deal with God about my soul, to be able to receive some instruction from him. I don't want to take it for granted. There's another area. We've sung this song for several services, 179. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You know, here's another area I can become too casual about. An opportunity to pray to the God of heaven. And you know, because I've done it all my life, it's just what you do before you go to bed. It's what you do before the preaching service. Lord, help me to not become too casual about an opportunity that I have to deal with God one-on-one. We see how he was in the Old Testament. He would tell them, don't cross this line, you'll die. You remember when they had the victory at Jericho? He had given some clear instruction. Here's how you go about it. No one misunderstood. They all understood. But there was one man, what was he thinking? A Babylonian garment, a wedge of gold. What is he going to do with it? But he hid it. Did God say, okay, it was only just one person out of thousands? Come on, there were 600,000 men. No, he died. And you know what? It wasn't just he died, but his family died with him. You know what? There can be places that I am too casual in my life that can cause trouble for my children also. I say, Lord, help me. We're headed for eternity. I want to be very serious in my walk with the Lord. I want to please him with my life. I want to look in the Old Testament and see how God looked at some things that were too casual. And I want to realize, you know what, I'm dealing with the same God today. Those opportunities that Jesus wants to be my friend, you know what, I don't want to be too casual about that. He paid a high sacrifice to be able to do that for me. And I don't want to be too casual about it. I desire your prayers.